Okay, let's get started in Parshas Vayakhel and Pekudei. And we could have, we should have, 2 hours of Shir tonight, two different Parshas, but then one might say that we already discussed Truma Tetzaveh, so maybe it all balances out in the end. We're at double Parsha, but we also have Parshas Achodesh. So let's see what we could discuss in these Parshios of Vayakhel and Pekudei. The connection between the two, hopefully, we'll talk about at the end. Let's start off with a thought from Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky on the first pasuk in the parsha. And the pasuk says, the first pasuk, Vayakel Moshe, as kol adas b'nei Yisrael, vayomer aleihem. Moshe gathered all of the congregation of b'nei Yisrael, and he said to them, Eila hadvar mesher tziva Hashem lasos osam. These are the words that Hashem commanded you to do, sheishas yevim teyasa malacha, etc. Vayakel Moshe. So Rabbi Yaakov is following Rashi's pshat of the events. If you remember, we've mentioned at least twice before the machlokas between Rashi and the Ramban about the order of events in the middle to end of Sefer Shmos. Rashi says that it is not as it is written. Parshas Kisisa should precede Truma and Tetzaveh. The Egel precedes the Mishkan. The Egel took place right after Har Sinai, and then the Mishkan. The Mishkan being a kapara for the Egel. And that is what we discussed a little bit last week, how the Mishkan exactly is a kapara for the Egel. That is the Shita of Rashi, which we'll see in a minute. Remember, the Shita of the Ramban is that, no, the Torah is written exactly as it should be in chronological order, as the Ramban always tries to say, unless it is impossible, where the Torah gives dates. But the Ramban always likes to say the Torah is written exactly as it happened. But Rabbi Yaakov, in source number one, is following Rashi's pshat of the Egel being the problem and the Mishkan being the solution. So let's see. Vayakel Moshe, as we'll see, or even with that background, Ha'egel hi ha, and Vayakel being the gathering that Moshe did for Shabbos and the Mishkan. So what is the Rabbi Yaakov say? Why Vayakel? Why the need? Ha'egel hu ha'hefek shal matan Torah. The Egel was the opposite of matan Torah. Why? Kibbe Matan Torah, and happened right after Matan Torah. That was the antithesis, as Rashi says. Matan Torah Amar Razal, Vayichan Yisrael Kishachar B'Lev Echad. Chazal say that at Maimon Har Sinai and Matan Torah, the Jews were unified. V'kacham Rabbi Yerushalmi. They were unified. V'kan Amar Rabbi Yerushalmi, but here the Yerushalmi says in Sanhedrin, Ki Yud Beis Agolim Na'asu. The Egel was the opposite of Achdus. The Egel, they fell, and they not only wanted one eagle, they wanted 12 eagles. The Ivu Lelukus Harbe. And they all wanted, as the Pasuk says, plural gods. They all wanted their own god. Vahare Matsinu, Elohei Moav, Elohei Edom, Vachadome. Vahare Rak, Elohim Achirim. Klomar Koach Echad, Lekoluma, Veloma Ivu Lelukus Harbe. Why'd they want so many different gods? Al Karchach, Shebein Ashvatim, Atzman, Hayu Chiluke Deos. Even within the Shvatim themselves, there was inner fighting. Kibimi Yivcharu, Velo Boy Lide Ichud, Vasa Koshevet Elokala Atzmo. The Egel was all about Pirud, was all about inner fighting, was all about not being together focused on a goal. Vahainu Egel Miyucha Lakol Shevet. As we mentioned, this fits into what we said last week from the Beis HaLevi. They all wanted their own derech of getting close to Hashem, even if they were L'Shem Shemayim. But it was all their own derech. Ulaficha Kishaba Moshe Lahazir Yisrael Ala Mishkan. So, when it comes to the Mishkan, and Moshe is gathering them, as the Mishkan, as Rashi says, is a kapara, haisa avodaso harishona, lahakila sa'am. You gotta become a kehila again. You gotta become gathered together, you gotta be unified. Because we only have one house. One Beis Hashem, one Mishkan. Right? That klomar la'echad, la'achedo sam b'makom echad l'matarachat. There was only one Mishkan. The joke goes, the man on the deserted island, he's there for so many years, finally, somebody comes and sees him and says, "Wow, you've made so much progress. You know, you've built, you know, so many different things." And they say, "Okay, so what's this? Oh, this is my house where I live." He says, "Oh, what's this beautiful edifice?" He says, "Oh, that's the shul. I'm the only one on the island, but you know, that's my shul. You know, I wanted to have a shul. Wonderful. And what's that building over there?" He says, "Oh, that's another shul." He says, "What do you need another shul for?" He says, "Oh, I always have the shul I daven in and the shul I don't daven in. That's why I needed two shuls on the island." Chas v'shalom, says Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky, there's one Mishkan. And the Mishkan had to be unified in order to be a tikkun for the Egel, Vayakel Moshe. Moshe had to gather it together as an antidote for the pirud that there was by the Egel. He had to bring them together, Vayakel Moshe, by the Mishkan. this parsha, at the beginning of the parsha, Vayakel, is a very important medrash for many, many a shir that we have attended. What's the medrash? Let's see a tour and a Beis Yosef. Says the tour in Arachayim Simen Kuf Tzadik, in source number 2. How did Moshe gather them? Vayakel Moshe, what did he do to gather them? What does the Simen talk about in the tour here in Simen Kuf Tzadik? Vayachar Asheina Kovin Medrash. Says the tour, after you take a nap on Shabbos afternoon, you should go learn. Kovin Medrash. He acknowledges that you take a nap. The tour got up to seek him. Right, so it's not that he had a very late minyan and then he went to sleep immediately right afterwards. He woke up early. Kovin Medrash. Kedisa Medrash, as the Medrash says, Amr Torah Levnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Torah complained to Hashem, Ribono Shel Olam, Kshi Kansu Yisrael La'aretz, Zeratz L'Karmo, V'Zeratz L'Sadeh, V'Ani Matehei Alai. The Torah complained to Hashem. When they're in the Midbar, they're busy learning me. But when they go into Eretz Yisrael, and this one is busy with his vineyard, and this one with his field, who's going to learn me? Amar La. Says Hashem to the Torah, Yesh li zug, shani mezavig lecha. No, I have a good pair for you. For Shabbos Shmo. Shabbos is its name. Shehem betilin mimalachtam, v'yecholim la'asot b'cha. On Shabbos nobody's working. They'll be married to you, they'll be able to be your chavrusa on Shabbos. Al kain, because of this, medrash tzarech sheyikvu, medrash lohodiya la'am eschukei ha'lokim estarosav. That is why specifically on Shabbos, there is a key in to fulfill this medrash, to learn on Shabbos. To have special siddurim on Shabbos. That is what Shabbos is about. And where's the source of this? Go back. This is one medrash. Look at the Beis Yosef. The medrash is at the beginning of our parsha. Tanchuma vayakel Moshe. Ba'alei agada hayu omrin. Source number 3. The Ba'alei agada same says, Mitchilat ha-Torah v'atzofa ein ba-parsha shenemar ba-kihila ba-rosha el ha-parsha zubavad. This is the only parsha so far in the Torah where Moshe gathers the people. Vayakel Moshe, he gathered them. As Rabbi Yaakov said, he had to unify them. How do you unify a people? How do you unify the Jewish people? Unify them through Torah. That's the ultimate ma'achid. V'lamaka, why? Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu l'Moshe raid. Hashem said to Moshe, go down and listen to HaKadosh Baruch Hu's command. Va'asei li kihilos gedolos b'Shabbos. Make for me large gatherings on Shabbos. So that every generation after you, Moshe, realizes what you're supposed to do on Shabbos afternoon. What are you supposed to do? Lahatil kehilos b'chol Shabbos, lehikanis b'bati knesios b'bati midrashos, lilmod b'hem Torah l'rabim. The medrash on the beginning of Vayakel says it's the makor for the Shabbos afternoon shir. Because that's, HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Moshe Rabbeinu, go be ma'achi the Kla Yisrael after the Egel. Putting Rabbi Yaakov's idea together with this one. After the Egel, they need to come together. The best way to come together, to bring Jews together, is through the Koach HaTorah. Go make a shir. Go gather the people, Vayakel Moshe, and bring them together through Torah. And that's where skip a few lines. Umikan Samchu b'chol Tfutos HaGola. So says Rabbi Yosef Cairo 500 years ago. That is the source throughout the diaspora. Lis Kavis b'bateknesios, Likros Mikro, Belidros b'divri Agada, Achar Su de Shachris. Right? That's the makar for the Shabbos afternoon shir. The Bach, on this Beis Yosef, just has one other ha'ara, and that is if you look closely at the Torah's language, look back at source number 2 for a minute, you look closely at the last underlined part, what does the Torah say? Tzorach sheyikvu medrash lahodia la'am es chukei ha'elokim. To let the nation know the laws of God, the es torosav, and his toros. Says the Bach, first and foremost, the Shabbos afternoon shir should be telling people what to do. Chukei ha'elokim. In other words, halacha. That's what it says the Bach. Nireh, source number 4, says the Bach. Bayis Chadash, Rav Yoel Circus. That was the Bach's name, Rav Yoel Circus. Says the Bach. Nireh Dadas Rabbeinu, Levair, the Rabbeinu. The Torah is explaining to Kfiyas Medrash, Eino Lidrosh Ba'agada. It's not just Agadata. Elo Lidrosh Dinin V'halachas. To teach me what to do. There's so much halacha that we have to know. That's what it's about. V'hachi Mashba B'yalka. Then he quotes the Medrash that the Beis Yosef quoted. Skip a few lines towards the end. Umikarov nispashi lidrosh called drushos va'agadas. Lately, says the Bach in the 1600s, Rabbanim get up and give drushos in agada, in ashkafa. V'lo b'dina v'halachas kol ikr neged das torasenu. It's against, he says, it's wonderful to inspire people. But you got to teach them what to do also. You can just spend all your time, you know, in the olden days, Shabbos agada was about, you know, how to clean and what do you have to check and... So nowadays, basically you have to do that way beforehand. It's too late, Shabbos HaGadol. 3 days before Pesach. Last year, forget it. Last year, it was Erev Pesach Chol Yesh B'Shabbos. So if you didn't clean by then, so now it's also, but a Rav is, and every community has to have shiurim regarding halacha, shiurim regarding, I guess now the internet is there from the previous years. So it's, but either way, that's what the Bach says. That's an ikker part. To teach them, teach them what to do. And also, he says, to inspire them. Lahamshech, line 22. Lahamshech av lev hashomim ba'agada, ha-madrichim li'iras Hashem, l'mana mechato l'fanav, give them musr, but something tangible to improve their behavior, either halacha or some words of inspiration to bring them closer to Hashem. Either way, this discussion, this halachic discussion of the Bach and the Beis Yosef and the tour in Simen Kuf Tzadik and Hilchos Shabbos all flows from the beginning of our parsha. Vayakel Moshe. Moshe gathered the people. Hashem told him, gather the people, get them together to give them a shiur, words of Torah. That brings people together. That's the achdus that Klal Yisrael needed after the story and the tragedy of the Maaseh HaEgel. Just one other point about learning on Shabbos, and once we're talking about learning on Shabbos, then we'll get to the next thought. It's a fascinating machlokas about what type of learning to do on Shabbos. Maybe you should do whatever you want, whatever inspires you. But the Shulchan Aruch says in Yerodeya, in source number 5, this is quoting a Gemara in Maseches Nedarim, Ein korin l'tinokos b'Shabbos b'tchila mashal olamdu. In the olden days, and maybe in like one or two schools nowadays, they have school on Shabbos, maybe yeshiva on Shabbos. Right? In the old, it used to be, they were only off Tisha B'Av and maybe Erev Yom Kippur. They have school every day, on Shabbos too. So if you're a Rebbe on Shabbos, don't teach the kids new material on Shabbos. Not only because they can't take notes, but there's another reason. Mishum Torach Shabbos! It's difficult for them. It's difficult. Racking their brain on new material, it's hard. Avol Mashakaru, Pamach, Hashonim Osalam Shabbos. Whatever they learned already, do Chazara. Learning something new is hard. Difficult. So don't do that on Shabbos. Only review on Shabbos. Says the Pischei Tshuva, source number 6, just the opposite. Learning something new is exciting. You can get into it. Give me a chazara. It's so hard to chazer. It's painful to chazer. You have to push yourself to chazer. Near it, the class, the kosher game. Shalei shanayim davar yashan, mashalam du kfar. Right, there are different makaros. Is it harder to learn something new? Is it harder to review? Halacha l'maisa, learn whatever makes you happy. Learn whatever you're into. That's what I would suggest. But either way, the Shulchan Aruch and Pischei Tshuva discuss in terms of learn. Okay, next thought. Next thought, we get to learn a sefer. I think that we have not touched on yet this year. First, if you look back at the pasuk, second pasuk in the parsha, so we know Shabbos appears again. Shabbos has appeared. Shabbos always appears next to the Mishkan. Whenever the Mishkan is mentioned, that's the makar for the Lamentes Malachis. Whatever they did in the Mishkan, we are not allowed to do on Shabbos. So the second pasuk says, Sheishes yamim te'aseh melacha, uvayom ha'shvi yelachem kodesh. 6 days you work, and seventh day is holy, Shabbos, Shabbason Hashem. Shabbos. Kolosu b'malacha yumas. Right? Interesting. People think that Shabbos is Shabbos, and Yom Kippur is Shabbos, Shabbason. Shabbos is also called Shabbos, Shabbason. It's not just Yom Kippur. Shabbos is Shabbos Shabbason, and Yom Kippur is Shabbos Shabbason, the Shabbos of Shabbos. So the pasuk says, as we just read, asks the Sefer Apirion. Sefer Apirion was written by the author of the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch, or Shlomo Ganzfried. He also has a Sefer on Chumash. So he has two questions on this pasuk. First of all, a general question. Why is it that every time Shabbos is mentioned in the Torah, it doesn't just say, don't work on the seventh day? It always has to mention, 6 days you shall work, and on the seventh day you should rest. Just tell me, rest on the seventh day. Because it says in Parshas Yisro, it says it in last week's Parshas, it always says, work for 6 days. I know I have to work for 6 days. You have to tell me that. Just tell me, rest on the seventh day. Say here too, why does it have to tell me? Shishi yom te'asa malacha. Just tell me, bayom hashvi yelachem kodesh. Every seventh day. Question one. And the other question that he asks is why here is the passive form used. Sheishes yamim te'aseh melacha. Work shall be done. Instead of saying ta'aseh melacha. Sheishes yamim ta'aseh melacha. Which it usually says, but here, at least one time on Shabbat, it says te'aseh, work should be done. Right, so now we go to source number 8, the Apirion. Hikshu amafarshin. The havelel meimar te'aseh ta'aseh malacha. It should have said ta'aseh malacha, do work. Va'od ki asiyasa malacha in sorach la'askir. And bechlal, what do you have to mention doing work for anyway? Umearoy sheyomar bayom ha'shvilo sa'aseh malacha. Don't do work on day 7. Says the Apirion. V'nir lafi ani yazdaiti. Says the Apirion, there are two types of workers we have in the world. There's one type of worker that we could have. I work the entire week, and I really feel that commensurate with my work, as much work as I put in, that's how much parnasa I'm going to make. I put in 5 extra hours, I'm going to make 5 extra hours worth. And I am in control. And as much as shtalus that I do, that's how much I'm going to make. If I push myself less, I'm going to make less. If I push myself more, I'm going to make more. It's all up to me. It's all up to me. That's one way. That's one type of worker. And then there's another type of worker that we have, is I have to do my ishtablis. I have to put in my work. Sometimes, if it's busy season, I have to put in my overtime. I have to work, but at the end of the day, it's not up to me. And at the end of the day, I do my ishtablis, but then it's coming from the one above. I'm not in control. I'm not. I could work hard, but so if Maisa, if I have to go home for a good reason, you know, that's it. I go home, and I'm going to get it, or I'm not going to get it. Says the Aperion. The Nir Lafianis Daiti, line 6. Kihine Yadua, it is known. Sheha Adam Asher Hu Ma'amin. Ki Ein Anios Min Ha'umnis, Vo Ashiris Min Ha'umnis. Somebody who believes that becoming rich or poor is not specifically in your control. Ela Hakolofis Huso Bashkachas Hashem Yisbarach. Sabto Kodesh Baruch Hu. La Adam Kazeh, that type of person, Nakelo Lishbos Biyom HaShabbos. For that type of person, somebody who realizes it's up to Hashem, the second person I described, Shabbos is an amazing for him. It's a Yom Menucha. It's great. What? I feel bad because I'm not working today? Even if I would work today, it's not up to me anyway. It's up to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So Shabbos is beautiful, it's wonderful. Avo Misha Eino Mamin Bazeh, if somebody does not believe in that, Umidameh, and they really think Bedaito in their minds, Kochi Va'otzim Yadi Oseh Zachayel, it's up to me. The more I work, the more I make. Well, Adam Kazeh Kashel Lishmarat Shabbat Karoi. That type of person, Shabbos is a very difficult day. Because I'm thinking, if I would be working, I'd be making more. So Shabbos is very hard for that type of person who thinks that their hishtavus is what ultimately causes the parnasa. Ki achshobil vavo, he'll think, im ayisi ose gam hayom malacha, yisi mavayach yose, I'll make even more. Says the Aperio, now we understand the pasuk. Zeu sha'amar sheshis yamim, Te'aseh melacha. 6 days work, but you know what? Realize, it's not you doing the work causing the result. Te'aseh, it's as if it's done for you. That's what it has to be like. Klomar, lo taleh b'daitecha ki atah ba'atzmecha oseh et melacha hazos. Don't think that you're doing the work. You're doing the hishtavus. Kodesh Baruch Hu says, we have to work, right? That was the klal of Adam. B'zeyas apecha toch alechem. We have to get a parnaso. We have to support the families, even a mitzvah. But we should never think for a moment that it's directly coming from us. I put in my hishtavus, and then it comes from my Kodesh Baruch Hu. That's te'aseh. It's as if it's done. Avoldaki kol birchas malachtecha hi min Hashem yizbarach. And maybe it's more from our tefillah, or from my davening. How is my baruch aleinu today? Ve'enat hashum gorim bazeh eloki lumachtecha nase me'eleha. And that's why he says, that's why the pasuk says also, it always says 6 days you shall work, 6 days you shall work. Because the Torah wants us to have the attitude, the proper attitude of the work during the week, in order to then to have a proper Shabbos. If we sheishes yamim te'aseh, so then we're going to have uvayom hashvi tishbos, and we get the most out of Shabbos. And then he answers at the end, maybe that's even hinted at, what are we about to describe here? All the nedavis that were given to the Mishkan, the greatest appeal in history, we're about to describe. So right before the greatest appeal in history, realize that your parnasa is coming from the one above. So don't worry what you're going to give. Just give. Because you're going to get it back, ultimately, as the Gemara says. V'yesh lama d'ramaz lam zos kodem nidvas ha-mishkan. Before the nidvas ha-mishkan, it was even alluded to. L'man yedu ki akol rechush ha-adam urak mibirchas Hashem yizbarach v'lo mipulos ha-adam. And therefore, don't feel bad about anything that you give. That's the Aperion. The Lekach Tov, when Lekach Tov quotes this idea, he gives a mashal. Again, you have to check with zoologists about this mashal. But it's a mashal, at least. So he says, Ki yadua, in the line, source 9 on top. Ki yadua, it is known. Yish dogim ani zonim ibli yish dogim acherim. Big fish eat little fish. You're involved with sheep, not fish. But big fish eat little fish. Ktana mehem. Hadaga gadol rodev acherei hadaga katan. Ukshama sigos ubalei oso. Imagine a big fish swimming quickly right after a little fish, and then all of a sudden it gets close, swallows it up. It's bolea it. Lefise, if this is true, tsarichaya hadaga balua lios munach b'makpil b'bitno shala bolea. When you cut open a big fish right after it swallowed up the small fish, you would think that the fish would be facing the same direction. The small fish, which just got swallowed up, would be facing the same direction because he came up from behind and swallowed it up. That's what you would think. The tail of the little one on the same side as the tail of the big one, and the head of the big one on the same side as the head of the big one. But he says, when you open up fish, it's just the opposite. Kasher mevachim is beten adag motzim ki abalu amunach kasher rosho klapi panim. Hafuch lichora meofen bliaso. When you open up a fish, it's just the opposite. The small fish is facing the opposite direction. The head went in first. Mikan yishlil mod, you know what must have happened? The big fish is chasing, asking all these small fish. He thinks the small fish that it's chasing is really going to be where its sustenance comes from. And really never caught those fish. But along the way, boom! Other small fish flew into it out of nowhere. And it got sustained by sources where it wasn't even expecting. That's exactly our parnasa as well. We're running up here, we're running over there. We think we're going to get that small fish. And sometimes this deal doesn't work out. And sometimes this client goes to someone else. But ultimately, some other small fish is going to come into our mouth. But it's facing the opposite direction. It comes from places where we never even thought. B'sofo shel davar, line 7, hu nizo mo me'ela shehu atzmo tarach alayem. You have to put in your ishtavlus. But your ishtavlus will not dafka directly be where the result of your panas is going to come from. And finally, one other source related to this, we have the Apirion, we have the Delakatov with the fish, and just one other story that I saw quoted about the Chafetz Chaim. About the Chafetz Chaim, source 10. Pam, second line. Pam haya Borussia Beir Tsarnigov. The city. V'shabash eitzel balabayis beis charoshes echad ovde v'shabes. And the Chafetz Chaim heard that there was one man that kept his factory open on Shabbos. Nichras elav v'dibir atosh yavzak zavod v'shabes. He went in. The Chafetz Chaim, obviously, wasn't going to sit on the side and let things go. Lo sabar al damar yecha. Right? So he went in. He said, mister, you got to close the factory. Analo, he answered him, Ani marviach kol yom arba elef rubel. 400 rubel. Atar rotesh, ani afsid mi yom ha-shabbos arba elef rubel. Right? 4,000 rubel I'm going to lose? Chafetz Chaim says, you think that working on Shabbos gets you 4,000 rubel? Do you know that keeping working on Shabbos, you're going to lose your whole factory? So, halakasu batola, the end of line 6. Yeshus yamim tavod. It says, 6 days you should work. Why does the Torah tell you? Elakach amra Torah, said the Chafetz Chaim to me. You know why the Torah says 6 days you shall work? If you want work 6 days, rest on the seventh day. Az bayom ha-shvi tishbos. Aval lo tishbos bayom ha-shvi, lo yilecha sheshes yamim malasos. Right? If you don't have bayom ha-shvi tishbos, you're not going to have sheshes yamim teyasa malacha. And obviously, as we know the story would go, Chafetz Chaim, right, the man says, Ma Rabbi Choshev, ki a pasuk bechumish yamid et beit charoshet shali. A pasuk in chumish is going to close my factory? Chafetz Chaim left. And obviously, as we know, the Bolshevikim nichnasu l'Rusya, v'lachumeno is called by the charoshes, his factories were taken, everything went up in smoke, and he came to the Chafetz Chaim and said, I guess now I do realize that a pasuk in chumish could close my factory. Sheshis yamim, the 6 days we put on in our ishtavos. And then the rest is up to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's the Teyaseh, and that's why it always repeats the 6 days of work. Next thought. Klei Yakar, source 11. If you look back on the pasuk in Perek Lamed Hey, we haven't done a Klei Yakar in a while. Klei Yakar, beginning of Parashat Vayakel, again, continuing. Right after Shabbos, we have the Mishkan. Vayomer Moshe, called Das Bnei Yisrael Leymar, pasuk Dalet. Moshe says to all the Jews, Zehadavar Shertziv Hashem Leymar. Kuchu Meitchem Truma Lashem, take Truma from the Jews. Call Nadiv Libo, Yivieha, Istrumas Hashem, Zahav, Vakasef, Unachoshes. Gold, silver, and copper. The Klei Yakar is bothered by one word. Kuchu Meitchem, Truma Lashem. Take from you. What do you mean from you? Take from you, Truma. Take Truma. Kuchu Truma. What do you mean Meitchem? What is that extra word? So the Klei Yakar quotes three different pshatim. What does it mean Meitchem? Source 11. Okay, number one, maybe is to take from your own. Don't bring me from other people that you stole. Okay, from you. Va'od, number two, says the Klei Yakar, yichlol me'itchem shekol echad yizdareis l'mitzvah me'atzmo. You yourself be inspired to bring the nedava, to bring the donation for the Mishkan. Ki yesh l'cha adam she'inu nosim klum ad sheroa acherim nosnim. Umiskanebohem. There are many of us that only give when there's peer pressure. Oh, so-and-so gave 1,000. Okay, I guess I have to. All right, it's not, we are in the generation of needing to hear our names, needing to see our plaques, needing to, the peer pressure. So many times we're not inspired ourselves. That's a level. It's a level, but it's not the ultimate level. So says Moshe Rabbeinu, who knows him, lahashmos asmo lahem. Sometimes you only give to be equalized with them. Right? I'll match. You match it. V'zeh eino me'itchem, ki hu atzmo eino siba el hanasina, ela acherim siba lo. No, Moshe says, kuchu me'itchem truma. I want you to give. Forget anybody else. I want you to give truma. That's the ultimate level. When we do a mitzvah, when we give tzedakah, when we give anything, we give of our time, we give of ourselves, me'itchem truma. That is the ultimate, giving tzedakah for the right reasons. That is the Klei Yikar number two. Interesting, connected to this, it's an amazing marsha. Usually you don't have a marsha in a chumash here. Marsha is usually lumdus on a tosfos. But there's a marsha in Ksubis and Afsamach Zayin, where the Gemara talks about someone who gave tzedakah, and the Gemara faults him for giving it lichvodo. He gave the tzedakah, but he did it for his own kavod. Look at this marsha. Can you remember the marsha lived in the 1700s? It says the marsha in Source 13. Where it's underlined, the last three lines. V'rabim b'dor hazeh, shemekabsim osher shalayim shalo be'emuna. There are many in this generation that gather wealth inappropriately. U'bechilol Hashem kegzelas oved kochavim. V'achar kach miznadvim me'oso mamon lios lahem kavid b'kol shana. And then they give the money to the shul in order to get a kibud. V'laseis lahem birchas mishaberach. They had mishaberachs in those days too. Lios lo shem v'tiferes, ve'ein zeh ala mitzvah haba ba'aveira, ve'ein lo osher hazeh melach v'kiyum, kita amar hacha. We have to try to donate, to give, whenever we give, of our time, of our effort, of our possessions, for the best reasons, because we know, kuchu me'itchem shruma. That's what it can't be, because we're looking around. Kuchu me'itchem shruma, even 300 years ago, they had this problem, it's human nature, to look around. But we have to make sure, says the Klei Yikar, says the Marsha, to give it for the proper reasons. Finally, the third reason in Source 11, back to the Klei Yikar, V'yesh Omrim, third to last line, Me'itchem Mamish. What does it mean, give Truma? From you, give you yourself. Ki anose minidvaz libo dome, ki ilu hikrev ez gufo. Because really, when you give something, it's like you're giving a piece of yourself. That's what it has to be like. Va'oche ha'ani hanosein ki ilu machasar mibsaro v'nosein. If somebody gives, we have to give it full-heartedly. We have to give our kishkas. We have to give it properly, like the Rambam talks about, the eight different levels of giving tzedakah. The highest level, giving anonymously, giving with a smile. We have to give of ourselves, not just give an asset, but give of ourselves. Me'itchem, k'chu me'itchem truma, says the Klei Yikar. Next thought, I think we've mentioned it in a different context, but it has to do with this week's parsha, and the thought is set on this week's parsha, so we'll say it here. And it's worth repeating. Pasuk says in Lamed Hei Chav Beis, Perek Lamed Hei Pasuk Chav Beis, as the list of the Mishkan started coming again, Pasuk Chav Aleph, Rabbi Sheni, Vayavo Kol Ish Asher Nesao Libo, all men that their hearts were uplifted came, V'chol Asher Nadva Rucho Oso, and anybody whose spirit was uplifted, Hei Viyu Es Trumas Hashem Lom Lechaz Olam Away, they brought the Truma, right, all the donations. Vayavou ha'anashim al hanashim. The men came with the women. Al hanashim. The men came with the women. Kol, very unusual usage of with, it's al hanashim, but that's what the pasuk says. Rashi quotes, im hanashim b'smuchan aleihem. The men and the women came together. Kol nedivlev, anyone who is... wanted to be no Dave, give a volunteer. All the jewelry. Right? The men gave with the women all the jewelry. So Chazal point out here that the women gave their jewelry here, even though they didn't want to give their jewelry in last week's parsha by the Egel. There, as it says, Vayisparku, I forgot the exact lashon, is Mezahav, it was taken off of them. The women did not want to give to the Egel. And here, Vayavo Anashim, Al Anashim, they all came together. If you look for a minute at source 15, Shemen HaTov, in the first volume of the Shemen HaTov, Barashi al Anashim, Hainu Kshodim al Anashim, Ubatat Sakinim Ibali Atosvas Beer Biyoser, he explained it, Shahanashim Tarmu Besimcha Gadola, the women had tremendous simcha when they gave this jewelry for the Mishkan. Ubawim ha'anashim, and they came with a man, kejazav odem aleim. They were still wearing their necklaces, and they were running to the Mishkan. It's like, they were trying to get it off as they were running. They were trying to give their jewelry. Vitarmu. Masha'en kein be'egel. Lo hitiru leba'alein likacha tashikdin. By the egel, they didn't let their jewelry. Ela v'isparku balkarchan. It was taken off of them. These are these women. If you look in the Torah in Siman Tav Yud Zayin, the right side of the page, the Torah quotes in Hilchos Rosh Chodesh, the minhag is quoted there of women not doing malacha on Rosh Chodesh. Doesn't mean they don't drive. Not doing malacha meant there are certain malachas about laundry and sewing, cook, all right, take your wife out, it's a great excuse to go out, you know. If the wife wants to use this, feel free. You know, honey, you do the laundry today, and you. So that's a minhag quote in Shulchan Aruch. Where does this minhag come from? What is Rosh Chodesh have to do with the women? So the Torah quotes that the women have this holiday of Rosh Chodesh because they didn't participate in the Egel. They didn't participate in the Egel, so they got Rosh Chodesh. The Isa of Pirkei Rabbi Elazar, Tilvisha Rolo Ratzu Nashim Litain Nizmeim Labalayan, but Maiso Egel says the women, in contrast to here, by the Mishkan, they didn't want to give their jewelry to the Egel. Lakach Nazan Amakadosh Baruch Hu Schar Hashem gave them their Schar Shu Mishamros Rashi Chadashim Yosem Yanashim. They got Rosh Chodesh, and then the Torah quotes a little deeper. He quotes his brother, Vishamati Me Achi Harav Yehuda Talmudaver. He quotes his brother Rav Yehuda, Lefisha Hamoadim Niskenu Keneged Avos. Each of the holidays are connected one of the Avos. Pesach Keneged Avraham. Pesach is Avram. Shetechsev Lushi Vasi Ugos. Right? When the Malachim came, they made Ugos, cakes. What kind of cakes? Matzah. Pesach Haya. And it was Pesach. Shavuos Keneged Yitzchak. Shavuos is Yitzchak. Shetkiya Shofar L'shal Matan Torah Haya B'Shofar Me'elo Shal Yitzchak. The shofar of Ma'amad Har Sinai was from the ram of the, that was stuck in the bushes. Sukkos Keneged Yaakov. Techsev L'mekneem Asa Sukkos. Okay? Avram Yitzchak Yaakov. Pesach Shavuos Sukkos. The Yud Beis Rashi Chad She Hashana. And what about the 12 Rashi Chadashim? Shegam Heim Nikram Moadim? Keneged Yud Beis Shvatim. Good. Each of the Shvatim got a Rosh Chodesh. Which, by the way, Yosef got Adar. Yosef split into two Shvatim. That's why there were two Adars. Ukishachatu Be'egel. And when they sinned by the Egel, Nitzlu Mehen was taken away from the Shvatim. V'nitnu L'nushoseyem. And it was given to their wives. L'zecher Shlohay Bosochei. Because they didn't take part in the Egel, so they got Rosh Chodesh. So, Etz Hashem Anatov. Maha Kesher between Rosh Chodesh and the Chet Egel. It's fine and dandy that they got a reward, but what's the connection between Rosh Chodesh and the Egel? Question. Says the Shemen HaTov, what was the root attitude why the women didn't participate in the Egel? What was their mentality? Says the Shemen HaTov, it was an optimism. It was hopeful. It was, don't be messiahish. Moshe's coming back, don't worry. Everything's going to be okay. Things are looking okay. Don't look down. Things are looking up. Don't worry about it. There was a feeling of optimism and hope and always looking towards HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Don't worry about it. This was an attitude that didn't just start here. In Mitzrayim, I didn't focus that. The Gemara in Sota describes the Nashim Sitkanios, Fa'uso Ador, led by Miriam. What happens? Amram said, Paro wants to throw all the babies into the river, forget it. Amram, who was the Gadol Ador, divorced his wife. So Gemara says, if the Gadol Ador divorces his wife because of Gzeirah, so everybody divorced their wives. So everybody divorced their wives. Miriam comes to Amram and says, Amram, what are you doing? You're killing the girls too. Paro was only goes against the boys. You're killing the girls. So he said, you're right. So he took back his wives. Everybody took back their wives. And the Gemara describes how the women beautified themselves and got their husbands to be with them and eventually continued the Jewish nation or the birth of the Jewish nation, the Nashim Sidkanios. And what did the Gemara even say? Bischar Nashim Sidkanios Shabosar Adar Nigalumi Mitzrayim. It was those righteous women, the attitude of positive optimism, hope. It's going to be okay. We can move on. Even when they left Mitzrayim, what does it say in Bishalach? All of a sudden, Miriam whips out the cymbals. Where does she have cymbals from in the middle of the desert? Cymbals and trumpets. No, because the women knew HaKadosh Baruch Hu was going to do Nisim for them. Rashi quotes it there in Bishalach. They had this attitude. That's why they didn't give to the Egel. Rosh Chodesh. What's Rosh Chodesh about? Rosh Chodesh, you look up in the sky, the moon, smaller, 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 nothing! It's pitch black, it's dark, there's nothing there, it's terrible! What's going to be? Rosh Chodesh is a day that starts getting bigger. A little bigger and a little bigger. There's hope, there's optimism, there's renewal! That's what the Levana symbolizes. But we say in Kiddush Levana that the Jewish people are going to be like the Levana. Says the Shemin HaTov, line 17. Nimsa tekoach anoshim ayolahatil ruachayim la'ilu sheim al-safa yeyush. These women had the koach to instill hope in those who had given up hope. V'heim achadshim she'ifa l'chayim. V'chein in a mishkan. And that's the whole point of the mishkan, that even after the Egel and after we lost the Luchos, we're going to have a house. We're going to be able to have Asheras HaShechina. Yesh b'yad ha'adam l'zakos l'Asheras HaShechina. V'lachay nikra mishkan ha'edus. The edus hu devita lehem, etc. HaKadosh Baruch Hu's mevatra l'chayt. There's no better yantif than Rosh Chodesh to give the women for not participating in the Chayt HaEgel. Okay, that is why they gave Dafka now, because the mishkan is the next step in Jewish history. Can't talk about Vayakel. We're gonna have two thoughts on Pekudei. Don't worry. I have to give it equal time. I'm not gonna give it equal time really, but we'll give a couple of thoughts on Pekudei as well. I always like every parsha getting there. Last year, Tavshin Samaches, there was not one double parsha. That was great, right? Bereishis, every parsha got its own. Right, that's it. That's how it's supposed to be. It's supposed to be. But no, we'll get to Vayakel Pekudei, the connection between them in a minute. So maybe it's not supposed to be, but I always personally like it when each parsha has their own week. Says the pasuk later on in Perek Lamed Ches pasuk Ches. Almost every parsha's Vayakel Shir, you have to say something about the Maros Hatzovos. Says the pasuk Vayas Perek Lamed Ches pasuk Ches. Vayas es hakiyar nechoshes. Moshe made or Bezalel made the kiyar, the copper kiyar, the washing station where the kohanim wash their hands and feet, located between the mizbeach and the Oel Moed. Interesting, the Kohanim had to go around the Mizbeach to the Kiyar. The Kiyar was on the far side of the Mizbeach to wash, and then they came back to do the Avodah. So he made the Kiyar, Ves Kano Nechoshes, and its base. What was the Kiyar made out of? Bimaros Hatzovos. Out of the mirrors. Out of mirrors. Asher Tzavu Pesach Oel Moed. Out of mirrors. What kind of mirrors? What kind of mirrors are we talking about here? So Rashi quotes, what mirrors? Binos Yisrael hayu biyadin maros. The women who we were just talking about have mirrors. Sharos bahan kashim miskashtos. That they use to look in the mirror when they beautify themselves. V'af osan lo ikvo milahavi l'nirvas ha-mishkan. And they didn't even hold with all these mirrors. They said, forget it. Just give everything. Just give everything. Give the mirrors. V'hayu moes. They give everything. The nashim sidkanias. Their mirrors, their jewelry. It's an amazing story my wife and I saw a few weeks ago. Into the Shiva of the Holtzbergs, the Chabad couple. Somebody walked in to one of the Shiva house, and they gave a package to the mother. To the mother. And they opened up the package, and it was Mrs. Holtzberg, Jefferson Holtzberg's wedding ring. A diamond ring. So he says, what are you doing with my daughter's diamond ring? So she said, when I was at their house one time, you know, I was having trouble with my papers getting out of the country, this and that, and I didn't know how I was going to pay for it. So she said, here, just take the ring. Just take the ring. Sorry? Right, she had been in jail to get out, whatever the story was, but she gave away her ring in order to look like, she says, you know, look like a legitimate person in order to get out, to get the right papers. She gave the ring, and she said it's on Shlichus, just like I'm on Shlichus. She's on Nashim Sidkanias, right here. Give away everything. Give away the jewelry. Give away the maros. So they come to Moshe Rabbeinu. Here are the mirrors. Moshe said, am I really supposed to use these in the Mishkan? The mirrors that the women beautify themselves in order to look presentable for their husbands? Kodesh Baruch Hu says, Kabel. Take them. Ki elu chaviv and alayim and akol. Right, they're chaviv to me. The Maros Tzavos, Tzvaos, the armies, through these mirrors that as we just discussed, the Jews were able to create many armies. They helped create many armies of Jews in Mitzrayim. Rav Shamshon Rafal Hirsch, in Source 16, says there's a connected meaning of the mirrors. The mirrors are obviously connected to the physical side of us and the physical relationship between the husband and the wife. Says Rav Hirsch, the message of using the mirrors in the Beis HaMikdash is to tell us and to make sure we realize that the physical relationship between the husband and the wife is ultimately something beautiful, something that is special, and something that HaKadosh Baruch Hu appreciates and wants us to appreciate. It is deeply significant, writes Rav Hirsch in 16, that the vessel of the sanctuary, which was to represent the moral keeping holy of one's acts, you wash your hands before you do the avodah, was made out of women's mirrors. Mirrors are articles which lay stress on the physical bodily appearance of people being an object of special consideration, so that it was shown that the physical sensual side of human beings is not merely not excluded from the sphere which is to be sanctified by the Mikdash, but it is the first and most essential object of this sanctification. The physical relationship is something that Judaism does not shy away from, but it puts in a special place. Related to this is a source, the Nesivos. Rabbi Yaakov Melissa, the famous author of the Nesivos, wrote a commentary on Shir HaShirim. And in his Akdama to Shir HaShirim, he also talks about this, the physical relationship between a husband and a wife. And he writes that, Rachman al-Islan, in our day and age, a couple hundred years ago, the Nesivos is writing, in our day and age, this idea, this area, has become disgusting, has become something that people shy away from. Third line, in the middle of 17, U'ba'avonoseinu harabim hirshiyu anashim ad shenisharu rak al taiva chomrius levad. Now, because of what our society has done, and how it's presented, and how it's taken advantage of, it's not something special and uniquely reserved and private for a husband and a wife, but it's just all over. So it's become disgusting. U'ke'ilo oniru rak lezeki yitziras behema. They use the physical relationship just like animals use it. Not to bring a man and a woman closer to each other, but they're just metami themselves. He says, let me give a mashal. Let me give a beautiful mashal. He says, line 6, there's a beautiful tower. Beautiful tower. People come from far and wide to see this gorgeous tower. Vishum tov yofi malacha lo nerecha elav. The Eden gan lo dima elav biyafyo. There's nothing as beautiful as this tower. Gorgeous. People come from all over the world to see this tower. Uboechad, one person came, ba'asat siur al haniyar miyofi amigdal. There's a professional artist that comes and draws a picture of this tower. It's a beautiful, lifelike. Now when people see this picture, wow, unbelievable. They get the beauty of the tower because they see it in the picture. It's so lifelike. B'shasharat tzir noy mehudar. Beautiful. V'haya nireh b'tziyura ki'ilu mamash b'noy l'talpiyot v'kulam ha'yalom d'mimenu noy binyin migdal. They look at the picture and they say, oh, what a gorgeous tower. And then what happens? All of a sudden, the achar kach worth underlined, ba'adam acher ra ma'alalim. An evil person comes, and what does he do? V'lichlech ha'tziyur b'dvarim usim u'mesrachim. Somebody comes over to the Mona Lisa and scribbles all over it. And X and black and gray and makes it totally disgusting. People look at this and like, what kind of disgusting picture is this? It's a mess. It's dirty. It's nothing. And after a while, people don't only associate the dirt with the picture, but they start thinking that the tower itself is dirty and messy and disgusting, and not a thing of beauty. Says the Nesivos, that's exactly what happens with the physical relationship in our society. And he's talking a couple hundred years ago, Kal v'chomer, what society has done nowadays. U'kamochen ha'nimshal be'ina advarim ha'kadoshim ha'gvoim mi'al gavoim. Right, Shir HaShirim. What is the Shlomo HaMelech describes the love between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Am Yisrael. Describes it in the mashal of a husband and a wife, because that's an ultimate level of love. And that's what Rav Hirsch says. Judaism has a foot. There are many halachas. There's a whole area called Taras HaMishpacha to make it beautiful. But it's in the Beis HaMikdash. Maros HaTzovos are on the kiyor, what the Kohen uses to be makadish himself every day. That has a centerpiece, says Rav Hirsch, even in the Beis HaMikdash. Okay, switching to Parshas Pekudei. First pasuk in Pekudei, first just a one-liner. Good one-liner to say at the table. Maybe a two-liner. Rabbeinu Bachai says there's a remez in the first pasuk of the Parsha. Pekudei, of course, the last Parsha in Sefer Shmos, Next week we get to talk about Karbanos. Says the first pasuk, Eile fekudei ha-mishkan, mishkan ha-edus. This is the countings of the mishkan ha-edus, asher pukad al-pi Moshe, that was counted by Moshe. Says Rabbeinu Bachai, this pasuk, source 18, v'im taskil, if you think about it deeply, b'milas ha-mishkan, mishkan ha-edus, those three words, Eile fekudei ha-mishkan, mishkan ha-edus, you'll see a hint, timsela ha-mremez, l'mispar ha-shanim she'amad bayis rishon. You'll find a hint to how long Bayis Rishon stood, Bayis Sheni, how long the second Beis HaMikdash stood, V'chein Mi'etzias Mitzrayim Ha'shabana Shlomo Es HaBayis, and how many years it took to build the Beis HaMikdash, up until they started building the Beis HaMikdash. Where do you see that in the Pasuk? Pasuk is about the Mishkan. And you're right, Mishkan is connected to Beis HaMikdash. Where do you see that? So he says it's Gematria. It's Rabbeinu Bachai talking. Ki HaMishkan B'Misparo HaMishkan. The word Hamishkan adds up to Ima Osios. Adds up, well, you add it up to Gematria plus 5, because you add the letters themselves, which a lot of Gematrias have, adds up to Bayesheni, meaning 420. 420, because it adds equals 415 plus 5 letters, 420. Bayesheni was standing for 420 years. V'chein Mishkan, b'misparo, remez l'Bayis Rishon. Mishkan is Bayis Rishon, 410. V'chein Ha'edus. Chaser vav ha'edus. If you look in the pasuk, it's spelled without a vav. It's dalid v'saf v'cheshbono. What's the gematria of ha'edus? Arba me'os u'shmonim shana. 480. 480. The navi says in Malachim. The pasuk says from the year they went out of Mitzrayim until Shlomo HaMelech built the Beis HaMikdash, 480 years. So in this first pasuk in Pekudei, which talks about the Mishkan, our first Beis Hashem, we'll get alluded to how many years it took to build the Beis Hashem until they started, and how many years each of the Beis Hashems stood. That is the Rabbeinu Bachai. Then he just adds, "Umashi yechzer echem en acheshbon." If you add it up, it really equals 479, not 480. He says, "Lafisha b'shana hashenis l'seisam nivna hamishkan." Right, the Mishkan really was built in the second year after they went to Mitzrayim. So from Mishkan to Beis Hamikdash was 479. They call Elu Acheshbonos Ras Moshe Baruch Hakodesh. Yeah. So somewhere Bayis Shlishi is in that too. We just don't know yet, but we could try to work on it. Gonna work on it. I'll put you in charge. Right. The Gemara says if you bring the news, it's your job. Right. So feel free. Okay. Two other points. One on Pekudei. One on both. So the amazing Svarno, the beginning of Pekudei. First, the Ha'ara that he makes. It's very interesting. And that is, we usually think of the Mishkan as, the Mishkan, you know, it was a stopgap measure until they got to Eretz Yisrael, and then comes the Beis HaMikdash, the two Batei Mikdash. If you think about it, the two Batei Mikdash were destroyed. And the Mishkan was never destroyed. Right, Mishkan Shiloh, it's a question what happened there. Right, Eli, you know, the Aron was taken, we know that. Eli died, we know that, beginning of Sefer Shmuel. But it never says anywhere that they burned the Mishkan, and many Rishonim hold that the Mishkan was never destroyed. Atzei Shitim Omdim, Omdim Lo'olam Lo'olme Olamim. Why?
Right, they have
where it was, in Shiloh. It's unbelievable. Right, exactly where it was. They know exactly where the Mishkan was by Shiloh. Says Asrana, why? Why was the Mishkan Zoche? Why was the Mishkan Zoche not to be destroyed? And Ogev never touched the Mishkan. The Aron, it was the Jews' fault. They took the Aron out. Why did they take the Aron out to war? Says the Svarno, he quotes a few points. Every phrase in the first pasuk in Bekudei is telling you why. Line 6. V'zeh ki kol echad mehem ayaroi lios nechshav v'likari b'shem. Right? Every kli in the Mishkan had a specific purpose. Line 10, Ula zelo nifzdu, that's why it was never lost. Kamram zachron levracha, that says, Shema tomar, maybe you will say, Avat sivram ubatal sikuyam, that they were lost. Tamalomar atzei shitim omdim, sheomdim lo'olam lo'olam elamim. As I said, V'gam kain, lo nafal davar meham biyad ha'ayvim. An enemy never touched the Mishkan. Al hefech ma shekar l'mikdash shlomo v'kelov. Not what happened to Shlomo, and to the second base of Mikdash. As it says in Bayis Rishon, Adin Nuvuzradon, Shlomnuzkar Sham Dover, not one kli from the Mishkan is mentioned as being taken away from there. Why? A number of reasons. Number one, Mishkan Ha'edus, line 20. Siper Ma'alo Zeha Mishkan, the Pasuk now is telling you all the milos that the Mishkan has. Sheb Bishvilam Ha'yaroi Lios Nitzchi, why it was eternal. Why it was never destroyed. Rishona, first. Mishkan ha'etis. He's going to go through every phrase in the pasuk, and every phrase is telling you another mile about the Mishkan. Mishkan ha'etis number one. Shahayu bo luchos ha'etis. It had the luchos in it, which Bayis Sheni didn't have. Next, Asher Pukad al pi Moshe. Moshe built it. Moshe had what we would say the magic touch. If Moshe made it, it stays forever. Moshe made the second luchos, right? It stays forever. Whatever Moshe touched stays forever. Num three, Shaisa Avodas Halavim Biadi Samar. Right? The Avoda of the Levium, everything was made by one of the great Levium, Isamar. And then Ubitzalel next column, Ubitzalel ben Uri ben Chur Mate Yehuda, Asa, Bitzalel and all of his artisans and craftsmen built every inch of this Mishkan. Shayi Rashei Umanei Melechas HaMishkan V'Kelov Miyuchasim V'Tzadikim Shebatar. The Tzadikim in the door were the ones that poured the cement and put out the boards and built every inch of the Mishkan. Ubechein Shars HaShchina B'Matzi Yedem V'Lo Nafal B'Lada Oivim. And that's why he never fell. Avol Mikdash Shlomo. Who built Mikdash Shlomo? They got cedars from Tzur. They got a lot of help. Aval Pisha Sharsa Bo Shechina, even though it had Shechina, but it wasn't eternal. Fascinating, my shir, so my talmidim are here. We had a few weeks ago the schlis of taking a tour of the Belzer Beis Medrash, the huge structure in Yerushalayim, humongous. So we heard the whole story from one of the Belzer Hasidim, gave us a tour of it. See, he says they have a Mesorah from the first Belzer Rebbe, the Rokeach, that a Beis HaKnesses has to be Lishma every inch. And all the Belzer Rebbes were intricately involved in all the buildings. And this one, which cost $70 million, tons of money, this Belzer Rebbe, that's alive now, he was mamish at the construction site every single day. He said he did the cement and he put the boards and he poured the Shivisi Hashem Lenegdi Summit. He said he took a golden thing and burned himself every inch. This Svarna right here. What made the Mishkan last forever? Because it was Bezalel and the Tzadikim of the Dor that built it. And then he says, even in the next pasuk, the Mishkan, we know every single detail and amount that the Mishkan was used of every material. Zav, Kesem, and Achoshes. If you compare this to what Shlomo had and the Bati Migdash, it's tiny. This Mishkan is much, much, much cheaper. It costs so much less, says the Svarno, because it's not about how much expense you put into it. That's not what makes a Mishkan. The Shahaya, line 23 now. Shahaya davar muad ma'od be'erakala osha shahaya be'bayis rishon. It was so much smaller. Shlomo built 12 menorahs in the base of Migdash. This was much smaller. Afal pikein, this Mishkan was eternal. Because it was l'shma from the moment it started. L'shma from the moment it started. They say also, Rav Chaim Yivalazhin, when he opened up the Valazhin Yeshiva, when they started building, they started digging, the first shovel full, he started crying. Why are you crying? He says, it's got to be l'shma from the first stone. The first stone has got to be built l'shma. He's crying. It has to be l'shem shamayim. That's the Svarno on the Mishkan. One final point from Rav Zev. L'tar v'la mo'adim. Zevin says in most years, as this year, vayaka pakudei are together. So, says Rav Zevin, vayakel pikudei. Vayakel. We focus on, actually let's just say what he says first. Line 5. Shtei hashkafot olam yeshnan. There are two views in the world. Ha'achas omer shatzibur v'aklal hu ha'ikr b'chayach evra. V'ha'adim ha'prati ein lo kol erach v'chashivas k'shu la'atzmo. Some people think it's all about the team. It's all about the tzibur. It's all about the group. Individuals lose their individuality. Don't focus on yourself. It's all about the team. Kol erko shel haprat hu betur boreg b'mechonat ha'chevra ha'klalit. The individual is only important because it is a screw in the machine of the tzibur. U'bishvil to'elas ha'klal. And because of the klal, you know, don't forget about the yachid. That's one view. And then you have Vashnia Omeris, line 9, Shekol Iker HaYachid. No, the Iker is the Yachid. Use the Tzibur for your own benefit to get ahead. But the Yachid is the Iker. The Yachid, your personal, you know, achievements. Says Rav Zevin, Vayakel Pikudei. It's about both. There's the Kehila. There's the group. There's the Tzibur, Vayakel. And then there's the Pekudah Shekol Echad Ve'echad. There's the Yachid. is the focus of every individual. Every individual has to accomplish themselves knowing that they're part of the tzibur, and one has to be part of the tzibur and give up a little bit in their individuality. Rav Zevin says, Al Pidrush, the tzibur needs the individual, and the individual needs the tzibur. A tzibur, yes. A shul, a neighborhood. The sum is greater than the sum of its parts. But you got to have great individual parts in order to create that amazing sum afterwards. V'yaf ba'olam ha'klal tzarech leprat, v'ha'prat tzarech leklal. And that's why in almost every year, except for last year, in almost every year, Vayakel Pekudei comes together. And even if they don't come together, they're one after another. Vayakel and Pekudei. We believe in the Kehila, the Tzibur, and we believe in the Pekudei, the coach, HaKol Echad Ve'Echad, the individual achievements as well. Vayakel and Pekudei. And as we get into Chodesh Nisan, and we get on get into the mood for Chodesh, the second Chodesh HaGeula, but the Chodesh HaGeula, you know, let's focus on the Tzibur, let's focus on the Yachid, and let's dive in that this Pesach will not just be any ordinary Pesach, but Erev Pesach we think is going to be busy because we all got to get up and do Berachas Hachama. But let's hope it's even busier. Let's hope that we could even do the Karban Pesach. Right. Which means it's got to happen because we want to get Tar first. So it's got to happen pretty soon. B'Nisan Nigal. B'Nisan Asidin Ligal. Okay.